This is June 2nd, and the topic this month is the mental equivalent.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I, all week, had something running through my mind, whether to do it or not to do it. So I'll tell you a cute story first. Just before I was asked to leave the Baptist church, a minister there by the name of Al Kraft gave a wonderful sermon. And after church, I went up to him and I said, "That was the best sermon you have given since I have been coming here." I said, "Why don't you give more sermons like that?" And he said to me, "Dallas, I couldn't do that." He said, "The congregation would never allow that." He said, "You have to realize that I am employed by the church. And I have to tell them what they want to hear. Not what is good for them. Not what they should know." This happens throughout churches. People go to church to hear what they already know. They go to church to hear what they want to hear, to keep themselves at the exact place that they always have been. Now, my dilemma this week was whether to say something to you people and clear the room or not. But since I am not employed by anybody, since I am a free spirit, I'm going to tell you anyway. So here's the whole thing that we fail, and I mentioned this last week. Here's what most churches fail to tell us. Here's what most teachings fail to tell you. And the whole idea is this. You have to realize that the statement in the Bible when it says, "Ye are gods," you must remember that. And you must take that to heart. And you must believe that. We're going to be working on the mental equivalent this whole month. And part of the mental equivalent is to build a spiritual mental equivalent. You have to have in your mind a spiritual mental equivalent. And you cannot have that without realizing where you came from. Now, for eons you've heard God the Father. Well, if you can say God the Father, you have to realize that you're children of God. And you can bring yourself to realize that, well, that's the Father, so I must be the child. But you have to go even further. It's the same way, if you were born into royalty and your father was a king, you would have to be either a prince or a princess, would you not? So when you realize that this thing we call God, that not only are you a part of that thing, that you have to be, then, God and goddesses. You have to be God and goddesses because you've come from this thing called God. The reason why people do not want to hear that they're God and goddesses is because they think they're taking power away from God. You are not taking power away from God. The idea is to develop your consciousness and to stretch your consciousness to the point where you come to believe that you're equal with God. People do not want to know that they're equal with God. Why do they not want to know they're equal with God? Because then you have to give up all your bullshit. You have to give up all your bullshit. And you're not ready to give up your bullshit. You see, now, if you know that you're God and goddesses, if you know that you create, then you have to take that responsibility. And you have to give up victimhood. And you have to give up complaining. And you have to start enjoying your life. And you can't blame it on anybody else. And this is all done without any shame or guilt. It's just merely taking that responsibility. Why don't you take that responsibility and realize that you set yourself free? You are no longer in this mental prison that you put yourself into. You see? So you have to start. So during the month, I'm going to open with not only good evening, I'm going to open with good evening, God and Goddess. So that by the end of the month, something will register in your mind and you will be able to accept that, that you truly are God and Goddesses. And if you allow your mind and your intellect and your logic to think about this, you will realize that it can be no other way. It can be no other way. You cannot say all there is God and then think that you're less than that. You cannot do that to yourself. Churches, religions, other organizations would like to tell you, because they teach what's called separation. And many people are afraid. I run into people all the time. If I make the statement, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, people go crazy. Mm-hmm. Because they do not want that. They want a God someplace else, and they want a God separated from them, a God that is either going to reward them or punish them. The God that I am talking about does not punish. Never punishes. Remember, God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. I have often said, what does God do? And we know that God makes all things new. God can transform you, you say. But not only that, but the other thing that God does is God always gives you what you want. You must remember that. God always gives you what you want. So if there's something in your life that you think you don't want, you wanted it where it wouldn't be there. So along with that idea, you have to remember what? That's that law of attraction, people. That's that thing that they call the secret. You're saying. You have to remember that your thoughts are magnets, and they will draw everything to you. They will draw everything to you. People have difficulty believing that they're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. If you have difficulty with that, I can imagine what difficulty you're going to have with the idea that you're a god or a goddess. But work on it till your mind accepts that. So when we go through the mental equivalent this month, we will relate to all these things. And we will realize what Emmett Fox maintains and what all metaphysicians maintain and religious science maintains, that this is a mental world that we live in. And we have to remember that. It's not a material world, and it's not a spiritual world. It's a mental world that we're living in. A mental world that we're living in. And each and every one of us has a mind. And we can control that mind, and we can tell that mind what? We can tell that mind to think the thoughts that we want to think, and to feel the feelings that we want to feel. So we have to come back always to that premise that I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yes.
A year or so ago, we did a talk, or I did a talk, and the whole idea was learning to kick this thing up a notch. And that's what we're always doing. We're learning to kick our lives up a notch. We're learning to kick our consciousness up a notch. So this month we're going to kick it up a real big notch by coming to that conclusion that we truly are gods. Now, the difference there is, I am not saying I am God, but I am saying I am a God. There is a complete difference. You know, the whole world went crazy when Shirley MacLaine stood up in that movie out on a limb and said, I am God. Oh, how could any human being do that? Isn't that horrible? You can do that. You can do that. We turn it and we say, all that I am is God. But I'm not all that God is. Because we all matter and we're all connected and we're interconnected with everything. And that's the other thing that we have to learn this month. How intelligent this universe is. And how interconnected it is. And how it is impressed with what we are thinking. What we are thinking. And when you realize that this whole world, this whole universe, is working together. And it's always working together for good. The other night, I watched a television program about the MoFu people. Who knew the MoFu people? They have a relationship with insects. And they learn from insects. And it was absolutely fascinating. Because the one man had termites in his hut and he wanted to get rid of the termites. The other one said, go get the ants. The particular type of ant. They got the ant. They said to the ant, get rid of the termites. The ants go in and they get rid. They push the termites out and the whole termite thing left. But they learn from nature. They learn from insects. And they see how everything is interconnected. And that's what we have to see. That there's an intelligence through everything that we do. And everything is connected somehow. You see. So you have to realize that your thought is that way. That it is connected to this thing called God. Because we're always living, moving, and having our being in the one mind. And we impress that mind. And then that mind does something with those impressions, with those thoughts. Your thoughts are the magnets that you're using to attract. So learn to look at that. Learn to see what you're thinking about, what your thoughts are doing. We get tripped up every time because we will not believe that it's a mental world. We will not believe that it's a mental world because we can look out and see other things there. We see chairs and tables and walls and all this stuff and we say, no, we live in a physical world. But you have to know that you live in a mental world and that these words have power, that your thought has power. What is one of the ways that you can understand that it's a mental world? If I say something very nice to you and you take it into your mind, it makes you feel very good. If I say something very nasty to you, you take it into your mind. And it makes you feel bad. I did not do that. You did that with your thinking. It's a mental world. You can decide how you want to feel. You can decide what you want to think. That it's never going to happen on the outside of life. It's never going to be a place, a person, or a circumstance that is causing anything. Causes nothing. Your thinking causes everything. Your thinking causes everything. And you buy in to what we call race mind. And you allow race mind to become convincing. At the present moment, everyone you talk to is going to tell you that prices are very high, that we are in either a depression or a recession. That's only in your mind that that is happening. The more you concentrate on that, the more you are going to produce that on the outside. The real estate market, they're going to tell you things are slow. Things are not moving. You must change your mind about that and make things move. Allow the world to have what it wants. What do you say? Well, thank God I don't live in your universe. In my universe, things are moving along quite nicely. In my universe, homes are selling. You see? Homes are selling. It's done with your thinking. It's done with your mind. Do not allow the world to convince you otherwise. But we get in with groups of people who say the same thing. Oh, you're right. It isn't very good today. The market's down. This is happening. That's happening. When I used to watch television, I'd flick from station to station to station. The one man, an economist, would say, "Jim, it's very bad. All this is going on, that's going on, that's going on." Turn to the next station. "Oh, no, we're on an upswing." And then he would give all the reasons why we're on an upswing. Change your mind about things. Change the station that's going on. Change the story that you're playing in your mind. You're saying you're allowing yourself to be convinced of something. You are creating your own reality. You are creating your own reality. You are always going to be the reality that you're thinking about. You're always the cause under your own experience. Many people then seek out things. Things aren't going well for them. They want to know what other people are doing. How's it going for you? The mind loves to prove what's going on. Don't allow your mind to do that to you. What do I mean by that? I don't have work, so I run to the next person who doesn't have work, and I say, "Do you have work today? Did you find any?" "No, I didn't find any work today." Now you have somebody backing you up in that. Then you call somebody else on the phone and you say, that same thing happened to me. And then you just keep that story going. Just keep that story going. When you want to manifest something and change something, keep your mouth shut. Don't run around talking to people. Go inwardly and work on yourself and change your mind about it. Go inwardly, you say. I would never tell anybody that I was working on something. If I didn't have a dime in my pocket and had nothing to eat, I would never tell anybody. I would change my mind about that. And I would make my reality change. Don't go out looking for bad news, because you're always going to find it. You're always going to find it. There's going to be somebody who wants to back you up in that, because the world is loaded with what we call doomers and gloomers. Don't be around those people. Learn to think for yourself and learn to create the reality that you want to create. Give that for the people who brought the mental equivalent, for the people who didn't. We're going to go through the mental equivalent. I happen to have 4 mental equivalents here. Next week we will have 15. I ordered them. I called every metaphysical bookstore in the area, and that was the only ones that I could find. But I did order them today from the Bodhi tree, because that path, that many paths, I went to him. He was ordering them for me. He said, "Oh, I couldn't get them." I said, "You said you were getting them." He said, "I said I would try." So anyway, next week you'll have them. So for tonight, if anyone wants, here happens to be four mental equivalents you can fight over them. So next week we'll have them. Anyway, what I love about the mental equivalent is, especially it's a talk that Emmett Fox did. Emmett Fox was a minister of divine science, and he was a friend of Unity, and Unity was is still in existence today, and it was founded by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, wonderful people who both were able to heal themselves from sicknesses and shriveled hands and things like that. Very powerful metaphysicians. And he did this talk at Unity, and he did it in 1943. And I think that's a remarkable date, 1943, because that was when I was born. And that's how I remember what he did. So I'll just go through this, and we're going to go through this till you absolutely understand what the mental equivalent is and understand how important it is to be able to build a mental equivalent. A mental equivalent is the foundation of metaphysics. If you cannot build a mental equivalent, give up trying to manifest something. It is not going to work, people. This is step one, and it's a very important step, and people love to pass it right over. I've been reading this little book, not this one. I don't know how many of these books I've bought in my life, enough to build a house probably. And they used to be 35 cents, now they're $2. So you can imagine how long I've been doing this, but it's over 30 years. And I underline them. And when they all, each page turns completely yellow from underlining them, then I get another one. Because every time you pick up this book and read it, you find something you say, well, I didn't read about what, when did they put that in there? When did they put that in there? You'd think I'd have it memorized after 30 years. This is a very nebulous thing. It goes right in and right out of you very quickly, and you think, oh, I've got it this time, and you do not have it. I listen to the mental equivalent in my car constantly. And still, when Audra says something on the tape, I go, I don't remember that. When did that get in there? She's got a different book than I have. So it's very important to keep reading this until you really get it. But it has to be step one, and it is step one of this whole process, so that you realize that there is a law called the law of attraction, or the secret, or whatever you want to call it, and that this thing we call God works through that also, because there is only God. So you have to learn what the law of attraction is, and how do you learn? How are you able to manifest something? By getting a mental equivalent of it. That means seeing in your mind's eye exactly what you want and working on that image till it takes flesh and dwells among you. That is how everything has ever come into this world. Ever come into this world? Nothing comes into this world by happenstance, people. Nothing. God is not happenstance. Okay, let's go. We are all interested supremely in one subject. Well, he goes on about that, and that's the idea of God. And our search for God and the understanding of God's nature. Well, we're here to understand God's nature. And the search for God. Each and every one of you must search for God in your own way. The God that I have is completely different from the God that you have, although it's one and the same God. Because if each and every one of us is an individualized expression of God, then each and every one of us has an individualized expression of God. Does that make sense to you? Because you see God differently than I do. But that doesn't make your God wrong or my God wrong. Because God is all-inclusive. God is everything. You see. So we can add to it. If I like some of the characters that you think God has, I will borrow those and add them to my God. And you may do the same with me. So we're building an image of God and what we want to do with that God. So he's maintaining in 1943. Now, the atmosphere, the thought atmosphere is different in 1943. That understanding the nature of God. They were very interested in 1943 about the nature of God and how to manifest things. And these early metaphysicians were able to do that because the world was not as convincing back then. The world was not as convincing in 1943, you see. They didn't have trauma centers up and down the street. They didn't have all the medicines that they have out today. So they said, guess what? I think we'll give God a try. Today we don't give God a try. We run to a trauma center and take a drug, you see. If you don't have a drug around, you'll start to think about God, you see. Just difference in the way people look at things. So, the aim of the metaphysical movement is to teach the practice of the presence of God. The practice of the presence of God. That means you must feel this presence. You see, we talk about God all the time. You go to different churches, you read different books, you do all this. But the practice, the presence. Can you feel the presence of God? You're saying. It's a great concept to know about God. It's a great concept to think, oh, there is a God and all. But you have to be able to feel the presence. You have to be able to feel the presence of God. And know that there is such a thing as God, that it's not just an idea. So you have to build a mental equivalent so that you can experience God. So how do you do that? You sit and think. Think, what is God? What do I want from God? What can God do for me? You see? I'm not interested, people, in what you can do for God. I'm not interested in that. That's another teaching. Somebody else will teach you that. You see? What I'm trying to teach you is that there is a thing called the presence of God. And then I want you to feel that inside of yourself because ye are gods. And then I want you to start loving yourself. And then I want you to start knowing that you are wonderful. And that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter. Once you know those things, then you can start building your life. And building a mental equivalent of what you want. But it boils down to you have to like yourself. You have to start liking yourself. You have to start loving yourself. And you have to start. When you love yourself, that's the highest form of worship you can give this thing that we call God. You see? That's the highest form of worship. But we spend more time disliking ourselves for our thoughts. Oh, I didn't do that right. Oh, that's a sexual thought. Oh, this happened. Oh, my goodness, I'm over this. Oh, I'm an addict. Oh, No, you don't sit around telling yourself all that stuff. You sit around telling yourself how wonderful you are. You sit around telling yourself that you are a god or a goddess. You see? Everyone wants to think that they've sinned in some way. Give that idea up. Give that idea up. God is not keeping score. Your little mind is keeping score. The only thing that's keeping score is your little finite mind. God does not think that way. Stop thinking those things about yourself. Stop punishing yourself in any way. You're not here. That is a leftover thing that the world has been teaching since day one. And made up all kinds of religions and everything else so that you can keep right on punishing yourself and feeling bad about yourself and feeling sorry about yourself and staying on this damn pity pot all the time. get off that thing. Learn to love yourself. We practice the presence of God by seeing God everywhere in all things and in all people, despite appearances to the contrary. You have to see God behind everything. So, the economy right now, they say, is not good. That is a fact. You must look beyond that fact to the truth that you live in an abundant universe, a prosperous universe, and that money is always freely circulating in your life. Now you are not judging by appearances. But when you judge by appearances, you're going to see what the world is telling you. Don't see what the world is telling you. See what you want to see. Learn to look past that appearance to the truth. And the truth is always going to be that there's God and only God. Can we help you? Which meeting? Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Doesn't start to 8 o'clock, and this is the metaphysical meeting. You're more than welcome to stay if you want.
Just sit in here.
Yeah, sit in here.
Thank you.
We get more people this way. So always look past that appearance and see behind that appearance. And the appearance behind everything, what is behind everything, is going to be God, it's going to be love. And that is what you have to see. But if when we see what the world is telling us, that is the appearance. And that is what one of the master teachers said. Do not judge by appearances. That's all that means. That you're so convinced of what you see is real that you start to believe it. So you have to start to believe and then see that belief instead of being convinced of what's in front of you. Because if you're convinced of what's in front of you, it's going to stay there. It is going to stay there. So claim your power in these things. You see, that's why you have to come to that conclusion that you are gods and goddesses, and you cannot pass that. Okay. As we look about the world with the eyes of the flesh, we see in harmony, fear, and all sorts of difficulties. But our leader, now see, he was using Jesus Christ here, taught us to say, do not judge by appearances. There it is. Do not judge. We're always judging. But the thing that we're usually judging is what? Ourselves. We're judging ourselves because we had a thought that we didn't think was right. We did this that wasn't right. We said something that we didn't think was right. Stop judging yourself. Stop judging yourself. As soon as we see the truth and see it spiritually, the appearance changes because this is a mental world. It's a mental world. Is there anyone here that still doesn't believe that this is a mental world that you're living in? Is your mind telling you that that is not true? It's a mental world. Work on that till next week, the idea that it's a mental world. How can you work on that? I'll give you some examples of how you can do that it's a mental world. Start thinking of somebody that you want to call you on the telephone. Somebody you haven't heard from for a while. Bring them into your mind and think about them. By the end of the week, the telephone will ring and it will be that person and they will say to you, you know, I was thinking about you. That's one of the easiest ways that you can prove that it's a mental world, that your thoughts go someplace and do something. I can make anyone in the world call me. I can also tell who's going to be on the other end of the phone when the phone rings. But you learn those things. That's how I know that it's a mental world. I know also I can think of something and, geez, there it happens. But I notice what my mind is thinking and I notice what I am doing and I notice then what pops up in front of me. And anything that pops up in front of me, I look at it and I say, what have I thought to bring this into my world? What have I thought to bring this into my life? And then I change that thought. Very easy. Just convince yourself and to prove that this is a mental world. You can do it. So try that one. That's the easiest exercise. Think of somebody, and they will call you on the phone. And you've probably had that experience in your life. Well, you see, you have to be able to call that experience forward all the time. You see? All this stuff works. Now, why does that particular one, is easy and it works all the time? All this stuff will work all the time if you learn how to work it. And that works like anything else because we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. So what's known in one place in mind must be known in all places in mind. So if I'm sitting here thinking of somebody, that has to go someplace. And it goes someplace in mind, to their mind. And they say, oh, I haven't called Dallas, that wonderful, marvelous person. I think I'll pick up the phone and call that lovely person right now. You see? And the phone rings. You can do this with everything. The mental world. Now, most people do not know this. They think this is a material world. And this is why humanity has a problem. After 19 centuries, now you know this is old, 19 centuries of formal Christianity, the world is passing through desperate difficulties. But we know the truth. We do not judge by appearances. We know that we live in a mental world. And to know this is the key to life. If you have an underliner, underline that. To know this is the key to life. Why is that so important? And why is that the key to life? Because you will rid yourself of all these petty little emotions that you have once you realize that you live in a mental world and that you are causing all your own grief. Back to the idea that somebody said something mean to me today and I just feel lousy. What does that have to do with anything? It has to do with your thinking. It's a mental world. You're causing it. The person is causing nothing. You really hurt me when you said that. My words. They went across and banged you on the head. They hurt. Do I have a hurt gun somewhere? No. But my thinking did it to me. I didn't do anything. Your thinking is doing it all the time. You see, but we're taught what? People can't say that to me. People, oh, I'd get upset. Blah, 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 blah. Don't you know it's a mental world? You don't get upset. Who cares what they say about you? Who cares what anyone thinks of you? You see, what other people think about you is none of your business. You know, what do you think about yourself? See, do you know that you're whole, complete, and perfect all the time? Do you know that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable, and that you matter all the time? These are the things that count. These are the things that you have in your mind. Not what, oh, they said this to me today, and you know how mean they were. That clerk, do you know how that clerk said it? Who cares? You see? Who cares? Living in a mental world is the key to life. The other key that goes along with that is, don't take anything personally. That clerk or whatever would have said that to anybody. You see, would have said that to anybody. I tell the story years ago, I read a book called Self-Actualization by, it'll come to me, Stuart. The only thing I got out of that book was, don't take anything that your parents did to you personally. They would have done it to anybody. They would have done it to anybody. You see, once you realize that, you can give up all that talk. Oh, my parents did this to me and that to me, and I was potty trained too soon, and I went out and you needed to do. That's all in your mind. It's a mental world. Give that up. But if you live in the world, and if you live in that thought atmosphere, somebody's going to make a myth out of that. Therapists love that, you see. They can keep you going for 20 years on that. They probably bought 3 or 4 Mercedes because of that. But once you know it's all in your mind, it's a mental world, you can save a great deal of money. You can save a great deal of money. Your mind is very convincing also. You think the outside world's convincing. Your mind is convincing. It wants to tell you, oh, yes, take offense about that. Oh, yes, do this, do that, do that, da, 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 da. You have to realize that you're not your mind. You have to be the one at the switchboard. You have to be the one that can stop that and say, now listen, this is not where we're going. This is not who I am. This is not who I want to be. Once you realize that you can control your mind, you can control your life. But if you can't control your mind, then your mind is running your life and you're not living life. You're allowing your mind to live it for you. You are not your mind. It's a mental world we live in. Learn to use your mind correctly. Learn to use your mind correctly. Make it tell you what you want to hear. Make it tell you what you want to hear. You allow it to put you down all the time. You allow it to tell you all kinds of things. Or you may get upset, but you allow it to come right back again. You see? If a rotten guest came to your house, you'd ask the guest to leave, and you would not have the person back. But a rotten thought comes into your head. Not only don't you ask it to leave, you invite it back the next day. You invite it back. You say, oh, come on in. I didn't get enough punching. Punch me again. Now, isn't that insane? That's insane. It's a mental world. It's a mental world we live in. A mental world. So it has to start with that. Building a mental equivalent. You have to build it in your mind. So get an idea of who you want to be and what you want. And hold that idea in your mind. Keep adding to that idea. Till it becomes so clear that it has so much, I used this before, weight. It starts to get weight. The whole idea when we say, it took flesh and dwelled among us. We are impressing this thing that we call mind. We are impressing this universe. We make a mold of what we want. And we keep adding to that and adding to that. We keep putting clothes on it. And we keep putting clothes on it. Till it becomes so heavy that it has to drop down into this plane of action. That's the whole idea when they say in metaphysics it's done in mind. Well, everything is done in mind. It's already done in mind. It's already an idea, and it's living out here in mind. But it has no weight to drop down. You see, if we didn't have these bodies, we wouldn't be here. It's these heavy bodies that we have to lug around that keep us here on this plane of action. So you have to think about that when you're making a mental equivalent. How can I make it heavy enough to drop down onto this plane of action? You make it heavy enough by giving clothes, by putting more clothes on it. What do I mean by putting more clothes on it? Another little detail. I want it to look like this. I want it to do this. I want to feel this way when it happens. You keep working with it and working with it, and it will become heavy enough to drop down into this plane of action. That's how that's done. Keep your mind active on what you want. Keep seeing it. And never, never give up on it. Never give up on it. I do the same affirmation day in and day out. I never stop doing my affirmation. I never stop doing them. I never give up on it. Because I know that it has to become heavy enough to drop down into this plane of action. The more you impress upon it, the more you impress upon mind what you want, it has to give it to you. That's one of the laws of the universe. All the laws of the universe that we talk about are immutable laws. That means they do not change. They stay the same all the time. And they stay the same for every person. So you can use all these laws to bring what you want into your life. Okay, let's see what else he has to say here. Ah, if children could be taught only one thing, they should be taught that this is a mental world. I would let all other things go and teach them this. Now, since we're adults and all, could you imagine if you were taught that it was a mental world when you were a child, how much further ahead you would be and how you would feel completely different? So do that now. And children, by the way, can grasp this very easily because they don't have all this nonsense in their head that we were taught. You see, the longer you live, the more nonsense you get in your head. That's a bunch of nonsense. And you think, oh, that's all real, and I'm so important because I have all this knowledge and I know all this stuff. You see, what do you think that's called? That bloated nothingness that you have to get out of the way. Just move yourself out of the way. Whatever enters into your life is but the material expression of some belief in your mind. Now, that is very, very important to remember. Whatever enters into your life is but the material expression of some belief in your own mind. It's always done unto you as you believe. So if you want to know what you believe, look around and see what's in your life. Look around and see what's in your life. And then start changing that belief. And then you realize that you really do live in a mental world, that your beliefs are causing all these things. All these things. I had an absolute mental belief that cords always get stuck and caught on something. And every time I got near a cord, it got caught or stuck on a leg, it got caught and stuck. I changed that. Now my cords don't get stuck anymore. You see, it's just these little things you have to work on. You know, I think all that stuff is big, even though it sounds very mundane to you. But look around. What belief do you have? Do you believe a cord always gets stuck? Do you believe a pen always runs out of ink? You know, just when you're about to do something important, that pen runs out of ink. You can change that belief system. It's only a belief system that's doing that. Oh, I know your mind's saying, oh, no, the pen really did run out of ink. Mm-hmm. The pen did run out of ink. How many times have you gone to do something important and it didn't work? And you say, see, it always happens that way. That always happens to me that way. That's a belief system at work. You have to change that belief system.
What then has occurred in each of us when, in spite of that, something good does happen? What have we done right without knowing?
Aha, you have to figure that out also. You have to figure out that also. So somewhere along the line you believed. People believe that every once in a while something good happens to them. That could be your belief right there.
There's a place where we could say negative things, but there's an underbelly or a foundation of always believing the world is good, things happen.
Yes.
And that in its own self is a lesson to pay attention to, because how much more good could come in?
Yes.
If you have that as a foundation and yet you habitually say negative or woe is me.
Yes. No one can afford the luxury of a negative thought. You cannot afford that luxury anymore. That was fun at one time in your life, to play around with all that negativity. And we can all get together and laugh about that. We can have little parties. We used to have little gossip sessions, and we thought that was just wonderful. But you will not get away with it. You will not get away with it. So from now on, don't give yourself that luxury to think negative. Think positive all the time. See good all the time. That's what you want in your life, is it not? So you can't play around with negativity. You can't play. You cannot do it to yourself. Thoughts always go someplace and do something. And negative thoughts usually go inward and cause bodily harm. They cause bodily harm. Negative people are sick more than positive people. And it's the thoughts that are doing it. See, but we came up with this wonderful idea, oh no, it's germs. Oh no, it's viruses. Oh no, it's this, that, and the other thing. That can't be true, you know, not if you live in a mental world. Remember, there's no physical causation for disease. There's no physical causation for disease. Only mental causation. Only mental causation. We buy into colds every year. Why? Because the world tells us the cold season's here. You see? All those germs that were vacationing in Florida came back home. And now they're here and we're going to get a cold. No. We get sore throats. The germs that give you sore throats are always, always in your throat. They're always there. But as soon as you get negative, you allow them to grow. There's a saying, such is the nature of life. But all it wants and all it asks is an opportunity to appear. And we give life an opportunity to appear, either for the positive or for the negative. And if we're thinking negative thoughts, that is the atmosphere that we set up and germs take advantage of it. The mental world. So, don't think negative thoughts. Don't even have fun with them. But they can be fun. You can get a lot of laugh out of them. But they don't do you any good. So you just have to grow up and not do it anymore. That's all. Okay, where were we here? The kind of absolutely. Let's do this. Whatever enters into your life is but the mental expression of some belief in your own mind. The kind of body you have, the kind of home you have, the kind of work you do, the kind of people you meet are all conditioned by the all conditioned and correspond to the mental concepts you hold. So the mental concepts you hold. And the mental concepts are, do you think that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? If you think that you don't matter and all that, then you don't care if you live under the bridge. You're saying? But once you realize that you matter and you want to make something and you want to do something, you attract other things into your life. You attract the things that you want into your life. You're saying? And you see that. You see it. Just watch that Jerry Springer one day on television. Where do those people come from? Has anyone ever seen those people anywhere? They're not in your mind. They're not in your mental, see, in your mental world. But they exist. They exist, but they exist in their mental world. And they think that that's the way everyone is. It's a mental world that you live in. And birds of a feather will always flock together. That is the law of attraction. But you can change anything in your life by changing your belief about it. I mean, belief about yourself. The belief about yourself. How do people become very successful? By thinking success. By building a mental equivalent of success. How will I feel when I'm successful? What will I wear when I'm successful? What will I drive when I'm successful? Where will I eat? How will the food be different? How will it taste? You have to get a mental equivalent of it. When I want more prosperity and stuff in my life, I go on a manifesting trip. I go over to Beverly Hills and I walk up and down Rodeo Drive and I go in and out of the stores and I try on the different jewelry and I try on watches for $50,000 and I look at all that stuff and I say, oh yes, well not today, thank you. And I go out and I don't buy a damn thing. And I go home and I feel so much better and I know that all that stuff is working out there. You have to expose yourself. You have to say, well, what would it be like? How do I feel, you're saying? What would it be like? Many times people come to me and they want a job and so forth, and I say to them, well, where would you like that job? Well, here, there, and there. I said, have you been in the building? Well, no. Well, I said, did you get up every morning when you were going to get up? Do you have to get up at 6 o'clock to be at your job at 8? Do you get up and get all ready? Well, I don't have a job. No, and you're not going to have the job. You want the job, you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you get yourself all ready, gussied up, and the whole works. You get in your car and you drive to where you want to go to that job. And you go down and you walk around. And you say, this is how I feel when I'm walking, going to work. This is what I'm doing. This is how I'm driving here. I'm driving there. Many people, I say, you want to work at the studio? Did you go by the studio? Do you know where the studio is? Did you go in the studio? Well, no, I'm waiting for them to call. But they're not going to call you. They're not going to call you. What are we talking about here? The mental equivalent is what? Acting as if. The mental equivalent is acting as if. As if it already existed. As soon as you can make it already exist, it already exists. You see, it says, oh, I couldn't get up. Get up in the morning. Get yourself all together. This is the job I want. Go to that place. And you'll get the job. Because you're making a mental equivalent. You're making a mental equivalent. You're doing something. You're impressing the universe. You're showing the universe that this is what you want. Boils down to that old expression that you've heard hundreds of times growing up and even now. God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. If you sit around doing nothing, you will stay sitting around doing nothing. So it's absolutely wonderful. And the rest of the month we're going to do this. And you're going to remember that you're gods and goddesses. And it's wonderful. So am I, and so are you, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.